It's me, Mario.
Welcome to Boozy Bracketology, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris, and I am here to host a bracket that I am extremely, extremely, legitimately excited for. I am joined by a crew of panelists that are the biggest nerds I could find when it comes to video games. And this month on Boozy Bracketology, we are going to be determining the best video game franchise of all time. Now, before we get into the methodology and kind of how this all came together, let's meet our panelists. And we can't start anywhere else than out in Fort Worth, Texas. The pride of Fort Worth, the most famous person in Texas, Steven, my friend. How you doing? And which diet drink is gracing your hand today?
Well, I'm doing so-so because I got the second COVID shot recently. So in lieu of that and how I felt this morning, I'm drinking a Diet Gatorade Orange.
Ooh.
Because I need the electrolytes. It's what plants want.
If it makes you feel any better, I got my second shot on Wednesday of last week, and I still have some pains in like my muscles. So yeah, and I guarantee that's not from working out. Speaking of not working out, we're bringing this back over here to lovely Largo, Florida. Tony, long time no see. How you doing? What you drinking?
I am doing good. A little hurt by that cross jab, but it's all right. It's still COVID. It's still lockdown. I didn't pick up a gym membership yet. But no, I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for asking. And tonight I got a beautiful little bottle of Eagle Rare. It's the Lucan store pick as well, so it's extra smooth.
Yeah, I can't talk. First off, I can't talk about in shape or anything like that because, like, look. Also, I've got two of those store pick bottles over here. I just cracked one the other night, and it is an amazing store pick. Lucan,
it is just such a good one.
The Jallos do a really good job at that store, and their store picks are top notch. Speaking of top notch, I can't say that. We're not talking to Jason yet. We're talking to Jennifer first. Jay and Jennifer, my friend, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
You are a shit, my dear. A shit.
Oh, there's the explicit tag. All right, we earned it, guys.
You know it was going to be me. I'm doing good. Unfortunately, I did not make it to the store or my, fiance did not send me the pickle whiskey that he promised me. So I'm drinking coffee right now. I know I'm always lame, but I tried this time, man. I tried.
It's okay. It's okay. Not everyone can be cool like Jason, but we're not going to get there yet. We are heading to my favorite city in the world, the home of your 2016 World Series champions. We have got Stu joining us. Stu is a good friend of ours from the podcast called Things I Got Wrong, the award-winning Things I Got Wrong. Stu, how you doing? What you drinking?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on, Chris. I am drinking, I actually just have a tall boy of Heineken.
There you go.
Nothing too crazy, but I'm drinking for the first time in probably like, I don't know, 8 months. I don't drink often, but for you guys, I'm drinking.
Real quick. Not a requirement to be on the show, as Steven has proven time and time again. But my friend, I'll drink to that. I actually just opened a bottle. This is a bottle. It's a private barrel from Davidoff here in Tampa. I have never had it before. This is a bottle of Stranahan's single malt whiskey. It is their cask strength single barrel. Obviously, private barrel has to be a single barrel. I've never been a huge malt whiskey fan, but I tried it there, and I'm having it now. A little bit of ice, a little bit of water. It opens up nicely. It is delicious. Speaking of things that I really do like, Stu, you know I adore the folks over at the guys. Sorry, Rachel. The folks over at Things I Got Wrong. Tell our listeners at least a little bit about your show.
Thanks. Things I Got Wrong at Trivia is a pub trivia podcast. You can find us over at thingsigotwrong.com. We play trivia. We try and release every 2 weeks or twice a month at least. And yeah, we have some pretty zany rounds of trivia. It's not just standard. Sometimes it's riddles. Sometimes it's puzzles. But it's always fun. So you can find us over at thingsigotwrong.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I can vouch for that. I've been on your show twice, I think, at this point. It is it's a freaking riot. It's
thanks.
So
we need to have you on more.
You guys have a new format you just launched too. So
we did. Yes, we did. And so we're planning on getting some more guests in pretty quickly.
It's going to be fun. I enjoy listening to it every couple weeks when it comes out. I look forward to actually going back to the office so I have time to get through all these back podcasts that I have. Things That Got Wrong, not one that I get behind on, because when it comes out, I make it a point to listen. I love the show. I'm a big fan. Speaking of big fans, I am a big fan of anyone that can keep Jennifer under wraps and under control. Jason, how you doing, my friend, and what are you drinking?
Thanks for having me, guys. It's good to be here. Yeah, I am drinking Irish whiskey, Tullamore Dew. This is just to rub it in Jen's face, by the way.
I am 100% on board with that. Where's that mute button for her again?
Yeah, yeah.
So, ladies,
better find it quick.
I'm going to try. Ladies and gentlemen, before we jump into the first round of picks, we're going to start here with just a minute or two to talk through the bracket itself. So I was the one that put together the initial list for the bracket, and then I went to two of my good friends, Steven and Tony, and I had them. I had Steven do an initial pass of putting it into a bracket form, and then Tony, me, and him kind of argued it out until we got to the current version of the bracket. So, Steven, you did the actual bracket itself. Talk us through the four kind of regions that we have. Steven, it's too early to get bit by the mute bug.
No, I was waiting for Skype to catch up. But yeah, so we've actually been talking about doing a video game bracket almost since the podcast began, and we never really kind of figured out how we could do, you know, the best video game, because there's just so many. And you came up with the idea of doing it by franchise. And then you came up with a big list of some very, very popular video game franchises, and you admitted you knew nothing about video games and did not have any clue how to organize them. So I thought the only sensible way was to group it by genre. So I've gone ahead and my initial pass, I put them as best I could into one of four genres, including a miscellaneous one as a catch-all, and then I tried to rank them both based on what other lists on the internet were saying, and I tried to also weight the length of the franchise, so franchises with more games got a little bit of a higher seeding. And that was kind of the initial pass and the initial ideas going through. And then you yelled at me a bunch and we made some changes.
Yeah, so I will say this. There's portions of this bracket that are highly subjective, because apparently no one else has decided to rank video game franchises. So, Steven, what were the four categories? We have miscellaneous, that's category number four. What are the other three?
Other than that, we're going to have platformers, action adventures, and RPGs.
So we've got platform games, RPGs, action adventure, and then the miscellaneous category. A couple of things I want to go over before we turn this over to Tony to give some opinions here real quick. You're not going to see any real sports games on here. When you start bringing in Madden and MLB The Show and all that, it's not easy to do because they're just pumped out so often. Same thing with the WWE, WWF. Those games aren't going to be on here. Kind of the same thing. We may end up going back and doing a video game bracket where it's just sports games, but we're not going to be including those here. The other thing is that these games that are on this list primarily are console games. So World of Warcraft, Oregon Trail, they were on the initial pass. They're not on here. Then you get the games like Minecraft and Fortnite, and I'm going to let Tony kind of talk through some of the logic there of why they are not included on this list.
Yeah, so after Steven was able to kind of pass through and make a lot of the big broad strokes and getting everything lined up, I kind of went in and cleaned up based on some of the newer knowledge and the more active communities right now. Not saying that Steven's old or anything, but we all know the truth. So after that, you know, we kind of took into some considerations things like communities and length of those communities and also just the amount of game material. Now, games like Fortnite, obviously they have a ton of material and the community is very strong, but it is all under a single game umbrella. Same with Minecraft. These games are not franchises so much as a humongous living game. So we wanted to make sure to differentiate between those and things like, you know, maybe Pokemon or anything else in the miscellaneous category that we have, such as Call of Duty or anything like that, that, you know, may still have live games active, but have also had a backlog of other video games. We wanted to really take that into consideration when we built this list. So we tried to do our best to keep it fairly simple and that you have to have more than one game in the series. And that's kind of the biggest franchise decider. And then we went with, you know, our gut reactions. Like Chris said, the lists on the internet, trying to stack these games up to each other. And then also just trying to be as broad-minded as possible. We didn't want to just do all Western games when it came to RPGs and miscellaneous things like that. We really wanted to make sure that we are taking into account the best franchise altogether.
I could not have said that better myself, because I don't know much about video games. But I do know a lot about a couple of things. One is good whiskey. And two is how to host a boozy bracketology episode. So we're going to get right in. Steven, you are kicking us off. We are starting in our platform bracket. And the number one seed will come as no surprise to anybody. It is the franchise of the Super Mario Brothers taking on the 16 seed Jak and Daxter. Steven, kick us off.
So you have to feel incredibly bad for Jak and Daxter, because that's a fun game. It's a fun game and a couple of games, but Super Mario Brothers is a juggernaut for a reason. Not only was it the one that we all grew up with, but as a world, it somehow expanded into this crazy, whimsical space odyssey traveling thing, so that even from 1985, when Mr. Jumpman became Mario, and we started playing and jumped on our very first Goomba, to today, when we're collecting moons and sprites and shines and stars, Mario games just magically are always so good and so wonderful. And I don't know how it is, they haven't had a complete failure within the main title series yet. I can't think of a bad one. Even Mario 2, which is weird because it's not really a Mario game, it's a game with Mario characters plastered on top of it, that's brutal and fun as hell, and it challenged us as kids. You have to love it. Mario all the way.
Super Mario Brothers picks up its first vote. We're bringing it over to Tony.
So going from Jak and Daxter, which was a wonderful platformer, to its predecessor, or its sequels in Jak 2 and Jak 3, it expanded into a huge world. But it's going up against Shigeru Miyamoto and his juggernaut. It's almost impossible to fight Mario within the platform universe. There might be some contenders later on, but as much as I hate to say it, because I do love the Jak and Daxter series, and it was a riot on the PS2 back in the day, it's Mario. He's the godfather of video games. Of course he's going on.
Mario has picked up its second vote. We are bringing this over to Jen.
I'm sorry, all I could think was, I could have been a contender. That's kind of how Jak and Daxter feels right now, because it's Super Mario Brothers. I mean, they have got... I've played pretty much every iteration of Mario you can, from, you know, Super Mario to Mario Party, Mario Kart. I mean, just, it's insane. I mean, I even picked up some Mario items in Animal Crossing when I was playing earlier this week. Like, they're everywhere. And Jak and Daxter just does not hold up to what Super Mario Brothers has brought to the table. So I'm going with Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers has picked up another vote, but I do feel it necessary to remind our panelists they are voting on the Super Mario Brothers group. Mario Kart, Mario Party, those are all different iterations that are going to come up later in this bracket. So keep that in mind as you're making your votes, even though actually three of you have already voted. I do want to hear, though, from Stu. Stu, what do you think?
Oh, hands down, it's Mario. You know, I think Tony said it best. Like, Jak and Daxter was an amazing game, especially the first one. I wasn't a big fan of Jak 2 or Jak 3, just because they took it in a different direction. But it's Mario. I mean, this was the first game that I ever played. It's the first game that a lot of people played, and it's really what broke, broke the gaming industry out of its shell, or out of its slump. You know, it revolutionized a lot of things. So, hands down, Super Mario Brothers.
And don't think that pun went unnoticed. It did definitely throw a shell at some Koopalings, but we're going to go ahead. We're going to see if we have a sweep here. Jason, you're up.
Yep, looks like we're going to have a sweep. It's definitely Mario. The funny thing is, I mentioned to my son what I was going to be doing here, and the first thing he said was, well, Mario's going to win. So it looks like this is definitely the number one contender here, and there's not much else to be said about Mario other than it's going to be tough to dethrone it.
Well, it is a one seed for a reason. The one seed Super Mario Brothers has taken a 5-0 win. Jak and Daxter, we hardly knew ye. And we are moving on. We've got your 8-9 matchup. Tony, you are kicking us off. We've got the 8 seed of Spyro versus the 9 seed Banjo-Kazooie. Tony, kick us off.
So, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I think Banjo-Kazooie is a knockoff. And when building this list, Stephen and I kind of traded some words about this because, in my opinion, it's a knockoff of Crash Bandicoot. And somehow it's seated higher than Crash Bandicoot. So, even not considering that, Spyro is still just the better game. It's more fun. Who doesn't love playing as a cute little dragon? There's just more to the Spyro world. Crash Bandicoot, even in my head, I'm still going to always think of Crash before I think of Banjo-Kazooie. The most exciting thing about Banjo-Kazooie has been him showing up in the latest Smash Bros. Spyro just had a huge re-release of his original three games, and that just goes to show that people still care about Spyro more. I'm moving forward with Spyro.
Spyro picks up his first vote. We're going over to Jen.
Tony has nailed it on the head. When I first played Banjo-Kazooie, all I could think was, oh, this really reminds me of Crash Bandicoot. Like, this game is just like Crash Bandicoot, and I'm completely on the same page. I mean, and even aside from that, with Spyro, you have a bunch of different platforms. I'm pretty sure that we have all kinds of different Spyro games where you can, like, I don't know, use figures, and I don't know, my kids play a lot of Spyro, but I mean, in the end, it's going to end up being Spyro because I feel like Banjo-Kazooie is just a big knockoff.
And as I slowly come to the realization that it is, in fact, Crash Bandicoot, not Crash the Bandicoot, I am unlocking my mind, and I want to hear from Stu as I process this information.
Oh my goodness. There is no way that Banjo-Kazooie is a knockoff of Crash Bandicoot. That is the most ludicrous thing I have ever heard in my life. The 3D platformer, Crash Bandicoot's like a pseudo 3D platformer. My God. I mean, my vote is Banjo-Kazooie 100% because Spyro, for as fantastic as it was and is, and yes, it did just get a re-release of its first three games, it's Banjo-Kazooie. Banjo-Kazooie was amazing. It had music that changed its entire audio based on your environment. You could walk in and go like underwater or into a cave and it would shift the entire tune of the music. It was very dynamic and the level design is fantastic. Yes, it's a collectathon, but it's a collectathon done right. And I think that, you know, while Spyro, yes, is also a collectathon and a great 3D platformer, Banjo-Kazooie is all around more fun.
Stu has locked in an emphatic vote for Banjo-Kazooie. I said that name right, right? Yeah, Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah, I got something right. Jason, speaking of getting something right, you're up. Let's see if you can give a proper opinion.
Ooh, no pressure. Yeah, I am on the fence with this one, but I think I'm going to agree that this is a knockoff here with Banjo. So I'm going to take a different twist on this one. I'm going to say the art style of Spyro is going to lean me towards that one. I think the art is just adorable. I think it's more memorable. And I think that's what's going to put this one over the top for me. So I'm going to vote for Spyro on this one.
Well, the art critics finally get a vote. Spyro is going to end up winning this. As Jennifer takes us on a tour around her house, I want to bring it over to Steven and get his opinion.
So to answer the question that's been brought up, is it a knockoff of Crash Bandicoot? The answer is yes. It is absolutely a knockoff of Crash Bandicoot, but it did it better. It's a better version of Crash Bandicoot. Banjo-Kazooie is way more enjoyable, and the controls don't suck. If you go back and play the original Crash Bandicoot, the controls suck. That's not neither here nor there, because Spyro's moving on. I'm not upset about that. Spyro is an entirely enjoyable game. This was an 8-9 seed because they were pretty even. Spyro moves on. I'm okay with it. No major outburst yet.
Okay, and what sounds like it was a close vote, Steven, I'm assuming that means your vote is going Banjo-Kazooie, though. Is that fair?
Yes.
Banjo-Kazooie will lose a close one, but we did find out that in this particular round, the Stu did not stand alone. We are moving on. Jennifer, God help us, is going to be leading this particular one. Our choice is going to be the 5-seed Mega Man taking on the 12-seed Ori and the Blind Forest. Jennifer, kick us off.
Okay, so this is going to be an unfair matchup for me because I've only played Ori and the Blind Forest like once a long time ago, and I just recall not enjoying it enough to continue playing it, but I've played Mega Man like a fiend in the past. It's kind of a part of my childhood. I don't know if you can hear my coffee in the background. I apologize. I pushed brew right before you told me to get on the phone.
This is totally my fault.
It's going to have to be Mega Man for me. What?
This is totally my fault. You're right. I'm sorry.
It is. I wasn't paying attention, and you called on me, and that's what happens. Congratulations. Yeah, it's totally going to have to be Mega Man. That's the game from my childhood. I mean, I still have figures up in my house of Mega Man. I mean, that's it for me.
Jen's locked in with Mega Man. Stu, you're up, sir.
Sweet. Ori and the Blind Forest is a wonderful game. It's beautiful. I mean, it's very enchanting. But Mega Man has so many games behind it and so many great games behind it. Ori, you know, there's a handful of them, and yeah, they're fun. They're really good, I guess, essentially like Metroidvanias. But Mega Man is in a league of its own. I mean, even if you just went past the originals and the classic, like, tough as nails ones, like, and you get into the Mega Man X series, those are still absolutely fantastic games. So it's got to be Mega Man.
Mega Man's got a commanding 2-0 lead. I'm going to bring this one over to Jason.
Appreciate that. Yep, my vote's going to go for Mega Man as well. And I'm not just saying that because I don't want to sleep on the couch by ticking Jen off. I really believe that the game, it's a classic, right? It's up there. I think it's iconic. Everyone recognizes Mega Man when they see him. And to be honest, I am not too familiar with Ori and the Blind Forest. So just kind of says a lot for myself here. And I think Mega Man's going to top this one here.
And with that, Mega Man's definitely moving on to the round of 32, but I want to hear from all of our panelists, and that does include Steven.
So Ori and the Blind Forest, I would argue, is probably the best-looking game of all 64 in this bracket. It is absolutely beautiful graphic design. I want to go ahead and just give it a consolation vote, since Mega Man has already moved on and there's no Moneyball chances here. I want to go ahead and give it to Ori, but we exist in a universe that has Mega Man 2. And regardless of the rest of the franchise, Mega Man 2 is on a hill by itself. So I can't, as much as I want to, I can't even give a pity vote to Ori. This has got to go to Mega Man.
And as I'm scratching out a vote for Ori and putting that in the Mega Man column, I bring it over to Tony. Tony, do we have a sweep?
See, I was listening to Steven, and he stirred my heart. Obviously, the right choice is Mega Man, but I do have a pity vote for Ori in me. Not saying it's a better franchise, but I'm just going to go out on a whim here. It doesn't need to lose 5-0. It is a beautiful game for any of you who have not played it, following up with its sequel as well. They are both stunning and absolutely gorgeous games that are very friendly and can be played with children. And it's just, the protagonist is a cute little fox spirit. It's adorable. Give them a play if you haven't. If you like platformers, it's a great game. That being said, Mega Man, phenomenal series. Insane that the original story is still not wrapped up. Just want to point that out. They said, fuck it, we're going to make 3 different timelines because we can't decide how we want to end these things. Ori has my vote for this round, but Mega Man, we'll see you in the next one.
And Mega Man does not get the sweep, but it is moving on with a strong victory, 4-1. Stu, you're leading off this next matchup, and I want to know, are you going with the 4 seed of Metroid or the 13 seed Crash, the crossed out Bandicoot? The choice is yours.
Cool. Out of the gate, I'm going to just say it. I'm not a big Crash fan. I'm not. I tried the first game. I tried the second game, and the controls were absolute shit. And it was so frustrating for me when I was younger that honestly, it just turned me off from the whole series. And even to this day, that pseudo 3D platforming angle doesn't work. And even the latest release, it still isn't good. People still complain about the controls, still fall in like unfair deaths and pits and things like that. it's just riddled with holes. And yeah, the art style is great. And yeah, it's zany. And Crash Racing is amazing. But as a whole, Metroid is so significantly better. It defined part of a genre of Metroidvanias. And Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo strikes fear into everybody who starts up that game, seeing the title screen with the dead scientists and the absolute horrific sounds in the background. The atmosphere of Metroid makes the game that much better, and the controls and experience of the whole thing, being in isolation and stuff, is just, it's a beautiful piece of work and continues to be like that. And honestly, Crash doesn't hold a candle to it.
Now, Stu has given an impassioned plea for Metroid. We're bringing it over to Jason.
Yeah, so this is actually an easy one for me. This is going to be Metroid. And I think I speak for all of us. No, I'm just kidding. I don't speak for all of us. But it's Girls Get It Done, right? Girls Get It Done. Metroid is iconic. She rocks. It was one of the first female heroes, I believe, right? And maybe someone can correct me. I'm not sure if there was an earlier female hero.
It was one of the first female protagonists.
Protagonists, yeah. There we go. So,
well,
just
Mrs.
for that
Pac-Man.
Alone, it's going to get my vote.
As Steven brings up Mrs. Pac-Man, not sure she counts.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's
apparently
a good point.
She does. Okay. Don't listen that's to me with video games. Of. He did say one of. You're right, Jennifer. He did say one of. We've got a 2-0 lead for Metroid. It is a pretty strong lead, but not insurmountable. Let's hear from Steven.
So one of the things that frustrates me more than anything else when I'm playing a video game is when I get the sense that the game is unfair. There's something just broken or unbalanced about it, or it's just even if I did everything right, I would still lose. And the controls in the Crash Bandicoot, the first two games, are so wonky and so messed up, and the perspective never works, that the game is fundamentally unfair, and I hate it. I hate Crash Bandicoot. I don't get why anyone else likes it. I don't know how anyone can play it for more than 5 minutes before they throw their controller through the screen of the TV. The controls and the hitboxes are that wonky and that fucked up, and I just don't get it. Metroid is an amazing series. Even if you only count the first two games, both Metroid and Super Metroid, even if you only counted Super Metroid, Super Metroid, top 10 game all the time. If we weren't doing franchises, if we were just doing best video games, Super Metroid might be a number one seed. It's an amazing game. It deserves all the praise, and Crash Bandicoot can die in the fiery death like I do every time I try to walk forward 2 steps in a row in Crash Bandicoot.
Steven admit that even though he's not drinking, he has trouble walking forward. Let's bring this one over to Tony.
So I may have waxed poetic about Crash Bandicoot being the superior of the two. But that shit don't matter when you're up against Metroid. Just being honest here. The fact that, even as a young boy, I was able to play this game the whole way through the original. And think that Samus is a man, and then be completely thrown for a loop when she takes off the helmet and you see that it's a woman, and a badass woman at that. Really one of the first awesome female characters in gaming. I know we've said that already. But, Metroid continued to deliver time and time again. One of the best Game Boy Advance games that ever came out was the Super Metroid game. It's got to go to Metroid. Crash has nothing on the game series as a whole. And we literally have Metroidvania games. It is one half of the Metroidvania, ideology that has spawned so many other games as well. Metroid, for sure.
Metroid has picked up a commanding lead. And as I just now realized that Samus from Super Smash Bros. Is not from anything other than Metroid. No idea. I thought it was an original character. This is why I'm not playing this game. I want to hear from Jennifer.
It's actually kind of funny because when I first printed out the bracket and I was making my choices, I was like, you know what? I remember being a kid and just freaking owning Crash Bandicoot, wonky controls and all. I mean, I just played it incessantly. And then I sat and I thought about it and I'm like, wait, when I play Mario Party, I play Samus. Like, duh. Not only would it be a disservice as a female, considering, first female, one of the first female protagonists, blah, blah, blah. But the game itself, Metroid as a whole, is a lot better than Crash Bandicoot, even though I played more Crash Bandicoot when I was a child and really enjoyed it. I played more Metroid as I got older and started to get into more sophisticated games. So I want to give a pity vote to Crash Bandicoot because of my childhood love for it, but I think I'm going to have to go with Metroid anyways.
Well, as we have learned, the demon lizard patriarchy has in fact been smashed by Samus. We are moving on, and we're going to move Metroid on, sweeping its way into the round of 32. We have not had a spoiler yet. There has not been a bracket buster. That might change right here. We're starting off with Jason, and Jason, your choice is between the 6th seed of Donkey Kong or the 11th seed of Super Star Wars. Good luck.
Star Wars. My vote's for Star Wars. Come on, guys. Star Wars versus Donkey Kong. I'm kind of disappointed Star Wars is below this. But, I mean, let's start with Donkey Kong. All right. Donkey Kong's fantastic game, right? It's a classic. Everyone loves playing it. But it's kind of boring after a while, right? I mean, it's old. It hasn't really lasted. But Star Wars, I mean, come on. Lightsabers, force powers, Darth Vader, trench runs, tauntauns. Do I need to go on? Let's the music. The music alone is probably going to put Star Wars on the top. This one's easy. I'm going to be shocked if Donkey Kong beats out Star Wars on this one.
And just a reminder, we are talking about only the video game series of Super Star Wars, not the other Star Wars games. But nonetheless, it doesn't sound like Jason has any regrets with his decision. We're going to bring it over to Steven. That's a mute button there, Steven. If you learned how to use it, you wouldn't have these problems.
Well, I could just keep my running commentary going the whole time. Like, if you didn't have so much problems with me editing out all the swearing in the background, I could just leave my mute button off, Chris.
One of the things you're going to learn about me as we go through these brackets is I'm more of a retro gamer. I'm more of the SNES or NES, the first, second gen consoles. And the reason I am is because I think those games are way more brutal and trying. Modern games, it's more evenly paced in how hard they are. So they take longer to go. They've got better stories, much better graphics, all that. But the older games, they just punish you, and it feels so rewarding when you finally break through a level. And I'm saying that because I felt that both with Donkey Kong Country and with the Super Star Wars games. But I remember the Super Star Wars games, specifically The Empire Strikes Back. It would take me hours to get, to the next, not even the next level, just, the next frame or stage or go through the next door. And I remember just how tough and brutal that was. But I was a nerd even as a kid, and I loved Star Wars, so I was willing to keep going through it. And I was really into video games, so I was willing to keep going through it. And the level of joy I got from actually beating a level in Super Star Wars, it felt like I had accomplished something huge. And I cannot forget that feeling, so I'm going to go with Super Star Wars.
Well, Steven has made Irvin Kershner very, very happy. We're going to bring it over to Tony.
So, I hate to say it, but I don't have super strong feelings for either of these games. Super Star Wars is in no way means my favorite Star Wars series. There are a bunch of other games that came out just 3 years after that, I think, are much better. And those being the X-Wing games and everything like that. That being said, Donkey Kong was always the awkward stepchild of a trio of video games from Nintendo. All have great facets of them and will be remembered as some awesome games, but just for pure nostalgia base, it is Super Star Wars that takes this vote for me. It's Star Wars. I have a giant-ass Darth Vader tattoo on my thigh. It's always going to choose everything I do.
Well, the giant-ass Star Wars tattoo has spoken. It is going to be Super Star Wars moving on to the round of 32, but I want to hear from everybody, and that does include Jennifer.
So sad for you. So when I first looked at this.
All right, Stu, you're up.
Son of a. See, I stopped myself. You like that? I'm getting better. The first thing I looked at this was, or the first time I looked at this, it was like, okay, there's like a 10 or 11 year gap between these two video games. And in those 10, 11 years, the quality of video games have gotten better. You know, it's like, it's hard to put, especially the first Donkey Kong versus the first Super Star Wars game. There's really no competition because one is going to be way more simplistic than the other. And for nostalgia reasons, I kind of want to choose Donkey Kong because that's what I played as a kid in the 80s. I'm aging myself. I know you young bucks, it's okay. But I really just, I think I am going to end up going with Donkey Kong because while I'll play Super Star Wars games now, Donkey Kong, like if you go to an arcade, like there are bar arcades out in Orlando that I go to sometimes, I'm going to jump on the Donkey Kong one. I'm going to try to beat somebody's high score. So I'm actually going to give Donkey Kong my vote.
As I remind Jennifer of a little bar in Dunedin called Reboot Dunedin, where you can play all these games and it's very fun. Jason, next time you're here, I'll bring you because apparently Jennifer won't. We are going to move on.
I didn't know about it.
It's a date.
It's a date.
It is a phenomenal bar in the downtown area of Dunedin.
Yes, it is. We'll invite Jennifer too. Tony, you and Meg can come too, but neither here nor there.
Absolutely.
Hey, Stu, we're going to hear from you here now, but Stu, you can come too if you want to fly down from Chicago. Stu, you're up though. How close of a matchup is this?
It's actually going to be pretty close. Out of the gate, my vote's Donkey Kong. Super Star Wars is fantastic. I mean, I used to watch my brothers play it. I never really played it much myself, but I can definitely appreciate it for what it is. But Donkey Kong as a whole, you know, yeah, the classic isn't super great, but you get into Donkey Kong Country and even some of the more modern games, you know, while, yeah, they're a lot easier and a lot more hand-holdy, they're still a blast. But what sticks out to me is Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3. Rare, you know, with the way that they rendered those the graphics and everything, it was revolutionary for the time. Nobody else ever was able to replicate that again. Again, Rare with the music, much like Banjo-Kazooie. It's got to be Donkey Kong. That just sticks out to me way more.
Well, Stu has lodged his vote for Donkey Kong. Unfortunately, too little, too late, as the first upset of the evening has happened. Super Star Wars is moving on to the round of 32. And we're bringing this back to Steven as he kicks us off here. Steven, you have got the 3-seed Ratchet and Clank taking on the 14-seed of Kirby. And just take us away without making any jokes about sucking. Good luck.
Well, okay, there goes my opening line. Let me look down the page here. No, for me, this one is a little weird because, like, I appreciate one of these more, but I love the other one a lot more. So here's the little history here. Kirby was designed as a game specifically for young kids to get into video games. It was designed to be very simple, very cute, and just something that was challenging, but not frustrating. And I know I just said I like the brutal ones. Kirby is not brutal. Anybody can beat the first Kirby. Anyone can beat any of the Kirby games. That's not true about Ratchet & Clank. Ratchet & Clank is much more challenging, but I grew up with Kirby, and there's something just so wholesome to me about Kirby. It was one of the first games I had on the NES. It works so well, and it's simple and delightful, and I think the fact that it is so simple is what recommends it. I'm going to go with Kirby.
Well, the upset team, the biggest upset of the night is on alert. Kirby, the 14 seed, has a 1-0 lead against Ratchet and Clank. Let's hear from Tony.
Make that 2-0, Chris, because I likewise am going Kirby. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Kirby is one of those nostalgic games. It's just fun, and I know you said don't do it, but what game do you get to walk around sucking in things and then gaining their powers? It has spawned many memes and many fond memories. That's not to say that Ratchet & Clank isn't a great game. It fought hard amongst a few of its PlayStation brethrens when PlayStation kind of took over from Nintendo. From in the platforming world, a game that's not on this list, but Sly Cooper, it easily outperforms that. But Kirby just has almost that je ne sais quoi that has kept it going for 30 years now, and it's still one of the most requested Nintendo games to be brought and released onto the Switch, and that's for a reason. Kirby wins in my book, and let's see how it goes on.
As Tony has just notified me without knowing this, I did not realize that Rogue was the Kirby of the Marvel Universe. Had no idea. Neither here nor there. Let's hear from Jennifer.
It's kind of funny because Rogue was actually my favorite X-Men character when I was a child. I want to thank Steve and Tony for making this so easy on me. Because hands down, my first vote was going to be for Kirby. I enjoyed Ratchet and Clank. I liked the art in it and how it was kind of steampunky, you know, and stuff like that. But I mean, time and again, I mean, I'm going to choose Kirby. I use Kirby in all of my Mario Party games. It's a classic. And as a female, I have so many jokes about sucking things in and gaining their powers. But I'm not going to go there because I'm a nice person, and I'm going to go ahead and let Stu take the next one.
Okay, as we suddenly realize that Jennifer does have a filter, Kirby is moving on to the round of 32. But Stu, are we right? Should Kirby really be moving on this far?
Yeah, it really should. I was thinking about it, and I was like, maybe I'll do Ratchet and Clank because it is... it's amazing. You know, like the whole aesthetic there, it's fantastic. It's a great PS2 story platformer. Like, I mean, it was awesome, but it also, you know, was in competition with a lot of other story platformers or action platformers of the time. And it was kind of hard to stand out in that time. But Kirby has, you know, it's been one of those games that everybody can get into. And one of my fondest memories ever was playing Superstar Saga on the Super Nintendo couch co-op. You know, you could grab another controller, and I would think it was actually the first couch co-op I ever played. And so my friends and I would just rock that forever, and it was a blast. But yeah, Kirby, 100%.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the 14 seed is making the 3 seed look absolutely stupid. I will say this, Ratchet & Clank was ranked as high as it was because of the reviews of the games. But apparently there's a lot of love for Kirby. Jason, is it a sweep, or is there like some sort of a semi-miracle comeback at the end?
No, it looks like it's a sweep. I think most of the good points have already been hit on. I'm going to just point up some history, though. It's interesting about Kirby, and I'm going to vote for Kirby here, simply because Kirby is named after John Kirby. He's a lawyer for Nintendo. He defended King Kong against Donkey Kong. So Universal was trying to sue Nintendo at the time for copyright infringement. And if it wasn't for John Kirby, we might not have Donkey Kong the way we do now. So my vote's going to be for Kirby, just for that fact alone.
We'll take it. I saw that. I think I actually saw that Netflix documentary. I don't know which one it was, but I've heard that before. Interesting story. I always thought he was named as a Jack Kirby because Jack Kirby, despite what some people might say, definitely did not suck. He was iconic. Neither here nor there. We're moving on, and so is Kirby. Kirby into the round of 32. Ratchet and Clank, the biggest upset of the bracket so far. The 3 seed is out. All right, we're going to recover from this. We're going to go to Tony. We're going to trust Tony to make some good decisions here, and that says a lot about our decision-making. But Tony, you've got the 7 seed of Castlevania, the 10 seed of Rayman. Lock in your vote.
I want to be insulted, but I completely understand. it is a dangerous day when decisions are left up to me. But hopefully, you know, this game for me, I'll just get it off the bat. Castlevania for me was really one of the first games that kind of brought you into the darker world of video games. It was before Resident Evil, before Silent Hill, before a lot of those games, and it really brought this... you could argue that Metroid kind of had the darkness, but for me it was more science fiction, where Castlevania was just... it's vampires, man. It's all about crazy batshit vampires. And killing Dracula as his son. So it's an awesome game. You adventure a lot. You have to unlock certain areas and travel back and forth, spawn generations of different games. Castlevania takes us over Rayman, no problem.
Castlevania picks up its first vote as I suddenly realize I have not seen the Castlevania cartoon on Netflix, but we're going to bring it over to Jennifer. Sorry, Jennifer, lock in your vote.
There are two J's now. Don't get too confused. So, yeah, this is weird for me because Rayman, I may have played once or twice when I was younger. I was never really impressed with it. Castlevania, I agree with Tony. It's the first darker game that I think I played, and it really sticks out in that way because I do like the darker games. So just based on that alone, I'm going to choose Castlevania.
Castlevania picks up its second vote as the seventh seed's got a commanding lead. We're going to bring this over to Stu. And Stu, are they right?
Yeah, they're right. I mean, Rayman was awesome. The first Rayman was honestly tough as nails to me as a kid. It was great. And I love the art style, but it kind of fell off the map for a long time too. And yeah, it's making more of a comeback now, and it's still a great game now. But honestly, you can kind of get a very similar experience to Rayman as you can with like the new Donkey Kong Country games too. So it's not even like it stands out that much anymore, as much as I love it. But Castlevania, you know, it's the other half of the Metroidvania genre. It's amazing. You know, I personally, Symphony of the Night is always in my top three games of all time. It is forever a classic to me, and it's always had beautiful music. It's Castlevania, no problem.
Castlevania's picked up another vote, and we're going to bring it over to Jason.
Yep, Castlevania here as well. I think the fact that there's a Netflix cartoon, an anime for Castlevania kind of sums it up. It's still got lasting power, right? It's an iconic series. Everyone loves it. There's not much else to be said. It was dark. It was great. It's a classic. Castlevania is my vote.
Castlevania picks up its fourth vote. Steven, do we have a sweep?
Yeah, we're absolutely going to have a sweep here. Rayman is a lot of fun. I actually think the game is a wonderful aesthetic. But it seems like there was a gap there where we just completely blanked on Rayman. Like, for some reason, he doesn't have the staying power of Castlevania. Castlevania's always been around, and it's so terrifying. I wasn't allowed to play it as a kid because it would most likely lead me towards Satan. So, just the fact that I didn't get to play it as much as I would like to when I was eight, I got to vote for Castlevania.
Now, the seven seed's taking a 5-0 lead as it dominates its way into the round of 32. And we are moving on to our last matchup of the night. We are going to start this with Jennifer. Jennifer, you're choosing between the two seed, Sonic the Hedgehog, or the 15 seed, Earthworm Jim. Good luck.
So as much as Steven adores Earthworm Jim, I am going to have to go ahead and choose Sonic the Hedgehog because even to this day, like, this might say something to me growing up. When I was younger, I would play Sonic and I would just blast through those levels like super speed and, you know, not get hit, not lose my rings, nothing like that. And now I try to play it with my son and I'm like, why am I dying every 5 seconds? Like, it's still so much fun because it keeps you on your toes. It's super fast. I mean, it's just, I don't know. And you know, the fact that they just made a Sonic movie about it. I mean, it's still like, I mean, is there an Earthworm Jim movie? I've never heard of it, but like, I don't know. It's classic. It's iconic. It's Sonic, man. My vote's for Sonic.
Sonic has picked up its first vote. We are bringing this one over to Stu.
I'm going to go with the Chili Dogs here. Sonic the Hedgehog all the way. I haven't honestly played much of Earthworm Jim. I remember it a long time ago, but I don't have a lot of experience with it. But Sonic is fantastic. You know, it's one of the classics. It's always stood out. And, you know, even for, I guess, some of the newer games, not that it's that much newer, but like if you get into like the adventure battle games and stuff like that, those are great, too. My son is wearing Sonic pajamas tonight. Anyway, like it's still relevant and it's still fantastic. It's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic has a commanding 2-0 lead. And let's hear from Jason.
Yep. Sonic is still relevant. That sums it up. Earthworm Jim, it was a hysterical game. It was a classic. It's good. It's fun. But there's a new Sonic movie. The kids that they watch Sonic, they know Sonic. He's still relevant. Sonic has my vote. He's awesome.
A 3-0 lead for Sonic the Hedgehog. Steven, lock in your vote.
So Earthworm Jim is funny, delightful. The sprites in it are amazingly expressive for the processing power they had at the time. But listen, I watched The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. I watched Sonic Saturday Morning. I even watched Sonic Underground, that weird foreign show. I even tracked down and got a VHS copy of the anime that was originally aired I don't even know where, because it didn't make much sense. I collected the Sonic the Hedgehog comic books. In fact, I have purchased more Sonic and Knuckles comics than any other comic book in my entire life. I fucking love Sonic the Hedgehog. I love all the games. This, if I could control your minds and force you to vote, I would make you make Sonic the winner. Sonic is my life. Sonic is my love. It is my moon and stars. I would eat a horse's heart in front of Sonic to have it continue from here. Sonic the Hedgehog all the way.
Well, despite its bright and cheery tone, this just took a very, very dark turn. Tony, my knight in shining armor, can you rescue us from this darkness that we are engulfed in thanks to Steven?
Well, I was going to bring up Edgelord Shadow, so...
So, no.
I mean, when you have something like Sonic that so blatantly rips off other materials, and yet still you have fun watching it do it, how can you be upset or even choose another game over it? Sonic literally goes Super Saiyan in, like, every game after, I don't know, Sonic 3, I think it is. The Chaos Emeralds are literally the Infinity Stones. It's hilarious. I love it. It's zany. It's deep. It's depressing. It's uplifting. It's so many different things. Earthworm Jim, as fun as the game it was, my fondest memory is playing it on a road trip to New York. Sonic has dominated so much of my childhood. Sonic takes the vote. It goes on.
And Sonic will have a 5-0 lead as it moves into the round of 32. And ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the platform portion of our bracket here in the round of 64. We made it through the entire round without anyone needing to use a buzzer beater. I have a feeling that's going to change as we move forward. Just to recap, the one seed Super Mario Brothers smashed its way over Jack and Daxter. It'll be taking on the 8 seed of Spyro, which had a narrow win over Banjo-Kazooie. The 5 seed Mega Man took a 4.5 vote win over the 12 seed Ori in the Blind Forest, which picked up a mercy vote. Mega Man is taking on the 4 seed of Metroid, which dominated Crash, quote-unquote, the Bandicoot. And then we get to our matchup of our upsets. You're going to have the 11 seed Super Star Wars that eked out a victory over Donkey Kong taking on the 14 seed Kirby that decimated the 3 seed of Ratchet and Clank. That's going to be a fun one. And then to highlight that particular portion of the bracket in the round of 32, we've got two sweeps going head-to-head. The 7 seed Castlevania, a 5-0 victory over Rayman, taking on the 2 seed of Sonic the Hedgehog, a 5-0 victory over Earthworm Jim. This is going to be awesome. Now, we'll be back with the round of 32 in a couple of episodes, but before we get through that, we got to get through the rest of the Field of 64, so find us in a couple days with our next episode where we'll be discussing RPGs. Now listen, if you're enjoying the Boozy Bracketology podcast, do me a favor. Leave us a 5-star rating, write us a review. That would be absolutely awesome. Another thing you can do, if you have Facebook, find us on Facebook at The Lounge for fans of the pub trivia experience and Boozy Bracketology. The Lounge is a place for all of our fans to get together and, quite honestly, tell us what we got wrong. We have made some controversial decisions here tonight. We're going to make a bunch more if we go through the next 7 episodes. Log in, tell us what we got wrong or what we got right. Hey, if you want to compliment Jen's hairdo, you can do that. If you want to compliment Jason's hairdo, you can do that. I might even post pictures of them. You don't know. seriously, find us on the Lounge. If you're really enjoying the show and you want more of the content that we continue to bring to you between the Pub Trivia Experience and Boozy Bracketology, head on over to patreon.com/PTEBB. You'll find out all about the tiers and everything that we offer there, but there's going to be bonus content galore, including after every episode, after every month of Boozy Bracketology, we do a recap episode where we bring a few of the panelists back and talk about some of the controversial decisions that we made. You'll find out what our biggest regrets in life are, and judging by this, some people are going to have some. I'll tell you that right now. Neither here nor there. For Boozy Bracketology, I have been your host, Chris.
I've been Steven.
I've been Tony.
I've been Jen.
I'm Jason.
I've been Stu.
We will see you all with the next episode here in a couple days. Have a good one, everyone.